Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is the weekly AGLCA, or America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, weekly blog radio. After 2 weeks of being at the rendezvous and having recorded shows, we're back on the air live today. We have with us Steve Cromer, who is our technical person and helps with just about everything, and Beth McHugh, who is our marketing coordinator. For those members, non-members out there, the Great Loop is the waterway that goes from Florida up the East Coast into the Canadian canals and then through the Great Lakes, down the river system and back to Florida. It's a great adventure, and it's one of the few very safe adventures left in the United States. Our association was formed basically to share information and to share the excitement about the adventure. If you'd like more information, you can go to www.greatloop.org and learn all about it. Our topic this week is the Florida Mini Loop. We thought this might be interesting as many of you are getting ready to cross the Gulf and spend your winter in Florida. Our guest hosts are Captain Sterling and Judy Kennedy. Most of you will recognize Captain Sterling as he is one of our most popular co-hosts, and we welcome him back.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Judy, you can say hello, too.
I'm here. Hi.
We encourage questions and comments during the show. We have a toll-free number. It's 877-497-1815. If you'd like to ask a question of Captain Sterling or Judy, I'm sure they won't mind. And as usual, in mid-show, we will have our Question of the Week contest. Okay, Captain Sterling and Judy, why don't you get started and tell us what the mini loop is?
Okay, well, this is a little trip we've been doing for more years than I hate to admit. We leave from basically Key Largo in the Keys, go north to Stuart, Florida, turn left on Okeechobee Waterway, go all the way across the state of Florida on the waterway through Lake Okeechobee, come out of Fort Myers, and then come south back to the Keys. It's about a two-week trip for us, but it's only about 400 miles. It's an excellent side trip, even though you have to go in a circle. It's well worth it. You'll see more variety on this trip, more changes in environment, more different places and people than you'll see in any other 400-mile stretch I've done. And in my couple loops, I've never seen anything this 400 miles so different and diverse as this trip. It's one of our favorites. We do it as often as we can.
I'm assuming that you get to see some of the old Florida on the trip.
Oh, you get to see some stuff that's way old Florida. When you cross Lake Okeechobee and then Okeechobee Waterway, you're in farmland, you're in small towns, tiny little towns. You're in old Florida where dockage is 50 cents a foot, which is unheard of in Florida.
In Florida?
In Florida. I know. It's like a best-kept secret.
What do you need to do to get started?
Well, I'm going to start this trip today from the Keys because that's where we live. We always start from. And I'm just going to skip right through the Keys because that itself is its own show. But what we'll do is we'll head north up the Intercoastal Waterway from Key Largo. It's about 60 miles to Miami. But we're going to make a stop here on the way up at a little place called Boca Chica, which is about halfway. It's a little state park up there that's old. It's from, what's it from, Judy, the 40s? Was built from a very rich man's house.
Yes.
It's a circular marina with a lighthouse. It's no electric, but it's a great little park island. One side's the ocean, the other side's Biscayne Bay. It's very protected.
And it's docks, you've got grills. It's a nice little beach. It's just really a cute little spot to stay and very popular weekends. So
yeah, you
kind of avoid weekends.
Is it
are bad.
A reservation or you just kind of show up?
It's first come, first served. It's on the honor system. It's $20 a night, I believe, and $10 for seniors, which I finally qualify for that, thank goodness. That's the one good thing. But we do these trips. We try and spend as little as possible. I don't believe in spending $250 a foot for a marina. And in Florida, that's pretty common. So we're going to lay this trip out for you today and how we do it, what I call it, relatively inexpensively.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Now, by being at Boca Chica, which is into the Biscayne Bay, you're about 2 to 2.5 hours from Miami. And we will go from Miami all the way up to Hollywood. Now, people are going to say that when you're on the Intercoastal Waterway, there's a lot of bridges. There are. There's an awful lot of bridges. There's an awful lot of low bridges. There's 13 of them between here and Stuart, Florida. But the whole part of this trip is going through the Intercoastal Waterway up through Miami and Fort Lauderdale. It's phenomenal. You're going to go through condo canyons, unbelievably looking, great tall buildings, zillions of them everywhere. You get into Fort Lauderdale, you're seeing the mega yachts, you're seeing boats with helicopters on top of them, if you can imagine that. And it's a slow trip, but it's really well worthwhile. We hardly ever go outside. We almost always go inside because we enjoy it.
Great.
So what we do, we try and make it up the first lake from there to Hollywood Marina. It's a little gem there just south of Fort Lauderdale. It's the Municipal Marina. Stockage there is $1.50 a foot, I believe. It's
$1.25
that's right. It's walkable to the beach areas of Hollywood, and Hollywood has an old-style boardwalk beach. There's lots of shopping, little stores, little restaurants, little bars, and a boardwalk you can walk up and down the beach. It's like going back in time 100 years. It's just great.
You think you're going to see all the old retirees sitting there on the beach in the rocking chairs. Of course they're not, but, I mean, it's just that cool because it is all old little hotels, just like you used to see on Miami Beach. So it's really a neat area. Tell them about La Tube, Sterling, my favorite place there.
There's a little spot around here, Coastal Waterway, called La Tube. It's an outdoorish restaurant, I guess you would call it bar, but these seats are made out of bathtubs and toilet seats. And it's hamburger joint, but it's a lot of fun to go there. We go there quite often.
And it's right on the Intercoastal. So you can pull your boat right up to the dock if you'd like.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. And there's also a good anchorage there also, which is...
When you pull up to that dock, do they issue you a toilet?
They haven't yet, but they might in the future.
They will definitely give you a seat.
Yeah.
It's really cute. It's cute. It's been there for years. It's very popular.
And Tallaway also has that 7-Eleven quick shop right on the water. So you can pull in with your boat there and get bread or milk at quick shop prices, of course. But it's kind of
convenient. Have a dock at the quick stop?
The whole area there has one long dock.
Wow.
Right on your coastal waterway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all dockage all along there, from restaurants to the store to, you know, lots of places. If you do anchor and you want a dinghy over, it's very easy to dock and then just walk across A1A to the beach. You're right there. It's wonderful.
Helen was the place where we got the breakfast for $2.99 for two eggs, two bacon, two pancakes.
Yep.
It's a good place to stop. Really like going back in time a lot already. This next stop we're going to make from here, we're going to head north again. We go through Fort Lauderdale. That alone is if you've never been through the waterway on Fort Lauderdale, you're going to see how the other half lives. It's you'll see 300-foot yachts sitting there with helicopters on top and dinghies the size of your trawler.
Went to Fort Lauderdale, I was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe people actually cruised on boats like that. And they were just, it was just overwhelming.
Well, I don't think they cruise. I assume they send the captain and crew somewhere and they meet them there in their jet. You know?
That's not the way we like to boat.
Unfortunately, I've never had a happy hour in one of those boats. I doubt I ever will. A little bit out of my league, you know. But that's a great, great area to cruise through. Lots of lower bridges there. You have to call ahead and make sure you... What I do when going through this area is I'll get the next bridge and Skipper Bob, see when the openings are, and set my GPS to it so I get there about opening time. Otherwise, you have to sit on the Intercoastal Waterway, which is narrow and just idle.
Sterling?
And if you'd like to see more of Fort Lauderdale, we've stayed right there on the beach. We stayed off the Intercoastal at like Las Olas Marina or one of those right in that area. And then you're within walking distance to the beach. And, of course, this is Fort Lauderdale Beach with just lots going on. I mean, party time all the time, music every night, all the restaurants, bars. It's a lot going on. And again, you've got the beach right there. That, of course, if you want to get wet and put your toes in the sand, you can do that too. But easy access and nice looking.
Sterling, this is just a question.
That's the land of the $20. What was it? $20?
Oh, the margaritas. My
$20
margaritas? Oh, yeah.
But two, it was two for one, and two of them were more than enough.
More than enough, yes. I think I crawled back.
Yeah, good.
Sterling?
No, yes, sir.
The question I have, my experience in that area that you're talking about is, the bridge timings are such that at trawler speed, you can't get there in time for the next opening. So you
end up idling. Yeah. You'll end up idling for the next bridge, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I went through there one time, and I got good luck because there was a barge in front of me. He got a little bridges open.
Yeah, that's a good trick to do if you can, to get behind a commercial vessel. But you're going to wait, but that's part of the journey. You know, if you've done it, if you've seen all the houses that you see, the magnificent houses and American wealth at its worst. You know, it's just great there.
You can have some conversations with people standing on the side of the ICW while you're waiting for the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely do that.
Okay, go ahead on. Sorry, we wanted you to go. Now you're going from Lantana to West Palm Beach?
We usually go to Lantana next. There's a little bar there right by the Lantana Bridge. We anchor out there. It's called the Old Key Lime House. And again, it's old Florida. It's I forget how old that place is. Do you remember, Judy? It's an old building.
No, I don't. It's probably 40, 50 years old.
But it's a great little tiki bar and a lot of fun and relatively inexpensive. It has Wi-Fi. They have a place you can take your trash. So it's a good place to stop. We prefer that over West Palm Beach.
Easy dinghy. Got a great anchorage there.
Yeah, there's a park there right there. Also, you can take your dog too, which is convenient.
Mm-hmm.
West Palm Beach is, of course, West Palm Beach. We don't go over to Marina's area. We also anchor out. There's several places there. But the next unique spot to me that we go to is Pex Lake. And I'm sure you've heard of Pex Lake before. It's just before Stewart. It's a little area on this, that you could pull into. It's almost a lake area off the Intercoastal Waterway. You anchor your boat there, and you get in your dinghy or swim ashore, and you walk across about 200 foot of island, and you've got the ocean and the beach, and you've got miles and miles and miles of beach with nothing on it because it's all state park. That's one of our favorite spots. You can shell there. You can walk the beach. You can't take the dog there, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, they don't allow dogs on the beach, but people actually do.
Yeah.
It's a great spot. But this is going to put you just a little way from what's called the crossroads in the Okeechobee Waterway, St. Lucie River. And that's where you'll leave the waterway and start your journey heading across the state of Florida. Now, there are several things about the crossroads that are all true that you've heard, I'm sure. It's crazy boaters. It changes all the time because of the shoaling. What you got to do is just go slow and pay attention. Don't rely on your GPS. Don't rely on your charts. It's always changing up there. So you just kind of watch the markers, take them on in. It's very doable. It's not a problem.
Do you recommend not doing it on the weekend? Is it worse on the weekends with boaters?
Well, yeah, it's always worse on the weekends, but, you know, it's hard to not travel on a weekend, well, at least in our situation when we're on somewhat of a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for this trip, we usually take off a couple of weeks and do it. If you can get away from traveling on the weekends, it's always better, especially going through Fort Lauderdale, Miami. You get a lot of waking going on, and then there's concrete along both sides of that channel, so it does tend to be rocky, rolly.
Mm-hmm.
But on a more positive note, with the cost of fuel, people aren't doing that near as much as they used to. So I haven't been awake now in a couple of months. It's a nice thing. But when you get into the St. Lucie River, now you've got a whole new environment here. You have a larger city town of St. Lucie, Stewart area. You have the the river with Manatee Pocket, which is right at the entrance, which is an excellent place to pull in an anchor. There's a lot of little bars and restaurants and hotels there you can go to. It's also got a public dock there. If you head up the river just a few more miles, about 5 miles to the St. Lucie Bridge, you've got that Sunset Marina that was recently built with mooring balls there. Now, that's a great place to stop. It's got $10 a day mooring balls. It's walkable to downtown Stuart. It's got its own little bar and restaurant area, and it's got a great little boater's lounge, and it's all relatively inexpensive right there on the Intercoastal Waterway, or no, St. Lucie Waterway, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this will put you in just a few miles from the St. Lucie Lock, which is about 8 miles from there. This is another little-known place to stop that's free, actually, and they're nearly free. They have 8 docks there, and they allow boats, people to dock there on reservation for 4 docks and first come, first serve on the other 4. It's on the other side of the dam going across. It's a little RV area. They have an RV park. They have bathroom facilities. They don't have a shower or laundry, but it's only $10 a day for seniors, so you can't beat that at all. That's with electric. Very protected. Now, once you get on to the waterway, that's when we start taking our time. It's like you can go a lot farther than I'm going to tell you to go, but you're going to miss it all. And this trip is about the journey, not the destination.
But the point is to enjoy it and see the scenery.
That's exactly right.
I do have one question before you go on. This may be
yes.
an ignorant question, but in these state parks, what is considered a senior? What age?
62, I believe.
62?
And
yeah,
I thought it was 55.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's 55 now. Mm-hmm.
Is it? They
and
do
all
buy
you
your
do
driver's
now
license
show your,
now.
Yeah. Show your driver's license.
Okay, great. Thank you.
They used to have a golden age pass, but they got rid of that. Now, from there, you're going to be in a man-made portion of the canal. It's all straight shot, deep enough, all the way through it, not a problem. No markers to speak of at all, because you don't need them. You're just going down the middle of a channel here. Now, you'll be going through farmlands, and you're going to come up on a little place when you're around the corner here called Indian Town, and the way you're going to know you're there is you're going to look up on your right, and you're going to see hundreds of masts sticking up in the air on the shore. This is where a lot of people store their boat for the summers or the winters. It's a relatively inexpensive. It's pretty protected for hurricanes. And they have a little marina there that's very much cruising-minded. It's a good place to stop if you want to just get off the road for a while and hang out with some fellow cruisers. The town is very tiny. There's one restaurant there that'll pick you up and take you back in their car. It's an Italian restaurant, I believe. But other than the cruising community, that's all that's in this little bitty town. But that's a good place to stop and wait before you go across the lake. Because when you get to Lake Okeechobee, you got to make a decision whether you want to go the rim route or the direct way. We went the rim route, which is around the outer edge, once. And I don't know, I prefer going across the center. It's 27 miles across the center. I think it's 30 on the rim route, 35.
Not much difference. I think before we actually cross the lake, Captain Sterling, we're going to announce our question of the week, if we can stop for a minute.
Sure.
We gave you a really easy question this week. For the last several weeks, nobody's gotten the answer correctly, and we would like to give away a free membership or a free renewal. So, if you know the answer, call into 877-497-1815. The first person to answer correctly, again, gets a membership or a renewal. The question is, what color burgee indicates that you have completed the loop more than once? Beth is
oh,
waiting.
I know this one.
You're a lifetime member, aren't you, Captain Sterling?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's get started again, and Beth will interrupt if we get a caller.
Okay, great. Judy, you know the answer to that question, don't you?
I better. I think so. I think I know. Yeah,
yeah I know.
I think
yeah.
one of them yeah. lying on your boat.
Yes, it is. That's for sure.
Okay.
Lake Okeechobee. it's a big body of water. Actually, in the middle, you can't see one side of it. So it's a pretty good-sized body of water. I think it's some 33 miles across. It's very large, relatively shallow, 10, 12 foot, and you have to stay in the channel, especially in the center of the lake. But it's well-marked. You won't have a problem. We've also crossed this body of water in pretty high winds, 15 gusts into 20, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't awful. It's not like the ocean. Waves are a little steeper, but they're not near as big. So it is doable in higher winds. It's important, though, and I just want to mention this at the beginning of this, before you even think about this trip, that you call the Corps of Engineers and find out the lake level and the channel levels. They're going to give you Route 1 and Route 2 water depths. Route 1 is across the middle of the lake. Route 2 is the rim route. Make sure you got enough water, because there are times in a drought area, especially summer, where the water's gone and there's like 3 foot in the channel. So make sure
there's
you call
lock.
On that. Yeah, and make sure you call on the locks, right? We had a friend who came all the way up here, got to the first lock, and the lock master said, "How far are you going?" Next lock's closed. So get a turnaround and come back. But Cross Lake is easy, well-marked. You get on the next in the lake, you'll be coming into a well-marked but narrow channel that takes you into Clewiston. Clewiston, it'll get back into the rim route of the waterway. But when you first pull in there, you're going to be looking for Roland Martin's Marina, and you're not going to see it. What you're going to see is a dam with the gates open. You go through that dam, and that's where Roland Martin is. And I'm going to let Judy tell you about that, because that's one of her favorite places.
It is. Clewiston's one of my favorite places. Roland Martin's is really a neat marina. And although Mary Ann Martin owns it now, the name is still Roland Martin's. But, you know, they got a divorce, so Mary Ann owns the marina now. It's kind of cool. Meanwhile, it's just a great marina. It has a big tiki bar that we thoroughly enjoy. She does a great job in her gift store. It's quite a mix. They carry a little bit of everything from, and of course, you're always going to see some fishing tournaments going out of there, because that's what they're so well known for. And they also have a loaner car for you that's available for you to use to drive around town in.
Oh, yeah.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure, Beth. Go ahead.
We have a winner, but he'd also like to get on and ask Captain Kennedy some questions, and his name is Paul Lester.
Great.
Okay, hold on. I'll put him on the air. Okay, Paul, are you there?
Not yet.
Okay, Paul?
Hi, Paul.
Paul?
Hello.
Are you there, Paul?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose him?
We lost him.
Yeah.
He's right.
Well, he'll probably call back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell him about Gloria.
Gloria is what we call the limo, because the limo was owned by Gloria Vanderbilt. So you want to talk about a hoot driving through old Clewiston in this old limo? It is quite the hoot. She does have air conditioning now, though. They've just painted her and fixed the air. So it is better, because you used to get in there and swelter, and you were sitting on these god-awful fabric seats, and it's a joke, just a real joke. But the town itself is just fun. You've got everything there you need. There is a big Walmart, so it's got everything you need in town. But you'll see what we mean by old Florida as you drive through these
types of towns. So you drive up to modern Walmart in this old limousine.
You
think about that.
and on the way to Walmart, which is blocks away from the marina, you're still passing all these old little stores and little shops. And I mean, you would think you were in South Georgia or maybe in Alabama, because that's what old Florida has always been like. You know, we love it. We absolutely love it. So it is one of my favorite stops. There's also the Clewiston Inn, which is a wonderful restaurant hotel. They will give you tours of the rooms if you're interested, because it dates way back. I don't know. It's over 100 years old, this hotel.
Oh.
And the rooms are all furnished in antique, older furniture and such. Just wonderful. Huge dining room, big dining room. They do a wonderful southern buffet. Now, there was a time.
Is it
that
Ed Bell? Can we interrupt for a minute before we lose him again?
You got him, sure.
Well, he called
sure.
on his landline this time, so he should be okay.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Listen,
Hi, Paul.
Captain, how you doing?
I'm good, sir.
Paul Lester in Coral Springs. I just wanted to add a few places. When you're coming up the Intercoastal Waterway, you know, if you have to stop, you get tired of the bridges. Right there at Hillsborough Inlet's a nice little cove just behind the lighthouse or across from it. And also Boca Lake is a great place to duck into.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you. What are you doing in Key Largo this year without a boat during this season?
Well, I'm talking on the radio and just twiddling my thumbs. I'll never do this again.
I thought it a little strange. Even your boat's probably living a lot better up there in the heat on the Erie Canal than you are, because you're probably nervous and you don't have a boat.
Well, it's really, you know, I have nothing to throw money at right now. You know, I have to waste money instead of just throwing on the boat. I have to spend it on something else. So it's very different. And as it turned out, that turned out to be a really good thing because of that Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
We would have got stuck up there for
don't
know how long. So it turned out to be a good thing storing it up there, but I wouldn't do it again just for that reason.
Yeah.
You
know,
just not have a boat.
Well, thank you,
Canal
Paul.
We're
running out of time quickly, so could we go on to Moorhaven? And, Paul, welcome to stay on the line if you'd like to.
I've got the program on my computer right now, so continue.
Fantastic.
I love the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right.
Moorhaven is another little tiny town. They have, the anchorage is okay by the lock, but there's two docks there that are relatively cheap, $1 a foot. River House, which is private, and the city Moorhaven Docks, which is a little nicer. Both, I get $1 a foot. The advantage of River House is you dock there, you get free ice, and they have a cleaner shower, nice little facility. This is walkable to a very small grocery store. Small little town, again, old school. Really good, really good. Moving on away here, going on down, it's going to bring you to LaBelle is our next little town. Now that is, again, old school. Go ahead, Judy.
No, go ahead. We're running out of time. You keep talking.
We can go over. We, you know, we have a little time scheduled, so we don't have to, you know, end at just exactly 10:30.
Okay. Well, LaBelle is a place where you have two choices at the dock, and it's very unique. You can either spend no money at the free dock, backing in or bowing in at the library, which is on the town side, or you can go across the river to the hotel, the Riverside Marina, which is, believe it or not, 50 cents a foot with 30-amp service, a swimming pool and a laundry, and it's a hotel. And they're glad to have you. You know, it's where else can you spend 50 cents a foot and get a swimming pool, a hotel, and a laundry? You know, unbelievable. So we'll usually spend a day or two there. It's, again, a town that's bigger than Moorhaven. It's got a little more to offer as far as shopping goes. But it's a bit of a walk from the marine area. Fun place to stay. Real fun place to stay. We're going to head on down across the west now. Again, very few markers. Alva has basically nothing. There's a marina listed there, but it's closed. There's a couple anchorages you can stop, oxbows here and there. Franklin Lock will be our next stop, and that's another relatively free $10 dock. Very nice docks, 30-amp service. They do have a laundry here, another RV park area, very, very parkish. Tables, the whole thing, isolated. So like the previous lock at St. Lucie, you go there to be there, and you spend the day there, do your laundry or whatever, but there's nowhere to walk to. You're very isolated.
Very
you can't
pretty,
walk
but it's very pretty. It's very pretty, and it's like you're like in a park setting, and you always meet people, and I love it. I think it's very nice. It's a great break. I like it.
It's very relaxing.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Well, that lock's going to put you, after you go through that lock, you start hitting a little more populated areas. We're going to start approaching Fort Myers area. You're going to leave the original river waterway and get into some natural on this end, and it's going to get a bit wider as you go into the highway bridge. These areas are well marked, but they are for a reason, this part of the waterway, because you have to stay in the channel here. It's the whole trip is very forgiving as far as coming out of the channel. It's usually a soft bottom, sand or mud, but it's shallow outside of the channel, so make sure you stay in these channel markers. And you're going to come across two marinas that are almost, well, I'd say legacies in their own time, but legacies in their own time. There's a Legacy Marina, which is very nice, and there's Fort Myers City Yacht Basin, which is older but still nice. These are both very highly populated, very popular cruising marinas. There's a whole community in Legacy itself that comes here every winter just to live there from up north. So it's a fun place to stop. You'll meet a lot of people. It's walkable to a new Publix. The downtown area of the old city of Fort Myers downtown. There's a lot of little bars, restaurants. They had one called The Rooftop, which was on top of a four-story building, which is an excellent place to go for sunset. It was closed last time we were here, though. That's one of my favorite stops is this Legacy Marine. It's expensive there relative. We're getting back into the $250 a foot stuff, but it's worthwhile stop.
The yacht basin is a little less.
Yeah, it is. And there are places to Al Lake or here also. There's places to anchor almost everywhere on this trip. But now we're into Fort Myers, and we're going to head on down the waterway. We're going to come into Fort Myers Beach. This is a great little place to stop before you do your crossing south. It takes you into a little side area of the Gulf there where you're protected. There's good anchorage mooring balls there, which are relatively cheap. There's marinas that are $2, $1.50 a foot if you look hard. But you can actually get on the mooring ball, which I'm forgetting is $15 a day, I believe. You can dinghy into the dinghy dock, and you can walk across to all the beaches and the beach store and tourist areas along the beach. And that's your typical Florida Keys or Florida beach with tourists. It's just like you imagine it. Lots of little places to eat and drink and party and walk the beach with a zillion people. But it's a place you can sit and wait for your weather window. Now, we are going to go from here outside down to the Keys. Like I say outside out in the Gulf. This is not like crossing from Carrabelle to Tarpon Springs. It's much more forgiving, much kinder, much easier, many places to stop on the way down. And it's shallower water, 10, 15 on the way down. So you can come down here with winds blowing out of the east direction, and you can come down with pretty stiff winds and still be protected. You have to make another decision, though, besides your weather when you're coming down, is whether you want to go inside at Marco or outside and around Cape Romano Shoals. Inside is neat and very mangrove-ish. It's very jungly in a lot of places, very remote, but also pretty shallow. I wouldn't go through there with more than 5 foot draft. And I go through there, I try to hit it on a high tide or a rising tide. But that'll take us into Goodland. A lot of places to stop here. One of my favorite anchorages here is halfway through this channel between Marco and Goodland. In the old inlet called Doctor's Pass, you get up in there, it's a no-wake zone, and it's an excellent place just to anchor. Good views, very scenic. But you come out of Goodland, and now you're heading south to the Keys. You're got to make a stop here on the way. You can't make it in one day. You have two places you can stop on the way down. One is, of course, Everglades City. Chateau is the lodge. There is the only place you can basically dock, but that's a lodge that was built way back, old hunting lodge. And Everglades City is pretty unique in a lot of ways. It's a little side trip about 5 miles up, but well worth it. Or we usually go on down to Shark River, which Shark River, when you anchor there, you'll have no cell phone. You'll have no anything, no air card.
Very remote.
The only thing you might have is a VHF radio contract with somebody, but everybody stops here, so if anything should happen there, someone will be there with you. You won't be alone. This will put you within a day's shot of the Florida Keys. Now, you can also leave there, and one of our favorite things to do at the very tip of Florida on the bottom is a place called Shoals, the Cape. And we stop along the Cape here and hit these beaches. You got 20 miles of beaches with absolutely nobody on them.
Cape
so you're
Sable,
pulling
you're
in here.
Right.
Cape Sable, right.
You're in.
You pull into the beach here. You drop your anchor, you get in your dinghy, you go ashore, and you got shelling that can be unbelievable. We were there once after a storm, and it was you had buckets full of shells. And again, there's not a footprint on the beach. Really nice. That's a great place to stop. Do check your weather, and there will be currents, but it's fantastic. It's a beach is like nowhere else in the country, I would assume. This will put you within a day shot on the Keys, and you'll come on down a yacht channel along the edge of the Everglades to take you right into the Florida Keys.
Well, they
and
could
I,
go to Flamingo.
You could go to Flamingo. That's true. So that's just past Cape Sable. That's about 8 miles in and 8 miles out. Flamingo's Marina, though, I can't really recommend that at this point in time. They haven't fixed it up yet from the storm. It's still hit and miss on electric. Dockage is pretty much free now because they don't have electric on most docks. If you haven't been
the Everglades,
Flamingo,
tell them what it is. It is Everglades National Park.
Oh, yeah, it is Everglades.
This is their center. Yeah, this is Flamingo is their main center. So it's just a great stop because there's so much to see, and there are they have a little museum that you can go through, and it's just a neat stop, yeah.
How many
It's
how many boats can they accommodate?
Oh, they couldn't put more. Today, they couldn't put more than about 6 or 8 in there. Because
okay.
The docks aren't rebuilt yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good-sized marina, but they were hit pretty hard by Wilma several years ago, a hurricane, and they're still rebuilding.
And finished.
There is a restaurant there. There are showers and bathrooms. There's everything. There's fuel available. There's a little Quick Mart there. But as far as the marina, it's not complete.
And it's the only place in the world that has alligators and crocodiles in the same environment.
Right.
Yeah.
True. Freshwater and saltwater right there.
Play.
Yeah.
But that puts you into the Keys, and then we're not even going to start covering the Keys. We could be here for days. But from there, you can go north or south. My whole point of this thing is this whole trip here that I made talk to you about today is – it's so unique and it's so different and such variety. I can't even tell you. It's probably one of the best trips I've ever taken in such a short period of time. And you see so much different things, so many different people, so many places that just you thought never even existed. And you're also in a remote part of the Everglades in a thousand island area, and you're also in cities like Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Sounds fantastic. I thank you so much. We will definitely have you back to talk about the Keys probably in the next couple of weeks if we could impose. But I want to thank you and I want to thank Judy very, very much. We appreciate your talking about this mini loop.
Well, thank you. Obviously, we like it.
Obviously.
We talk forever about it.
You've made me envious, so it sounds wonderful. I have to talk to Steve. I don't know, the depth might be a problem for us. But anyway, the next time we're down in Florida, maybe we'll plan a 2-week cruise around the mini loop.
Well, let us know and we can join you. That'd be wonderful.
That'd be fantastic. Thank you so much for participating today.
Thank you.
Before we close down, I'd like to remind everybody, if you're not a member, we'd love to have you join. You can get onto our website at www.greatloop.org and click on Benefits of Membership to read about what you'll be getting, and then click on Join Now. Just thank you very much. The shows are always archived at our webpage. And Judy and Captain Sterling, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.